Just wanted to share a few little thoughts about the Beatitudes that we just heard, and then a couple other things, and then I'll sit down. It's interesting in that list of Beatitudes, there are nine Beatitudes really all together. In the middle, Jesus says, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God." Clean of heart. In the Old Testament, there was all kinds of instructions for how to stay clean or how you become unclean. And it was mostly external. You know, become ritually, externally, bodily unclean by not following the law of God. But Jesus says, if we stay clean of heart, how do we keep our heart clean? That's a whole different thing. That sounds impossible for me to do something to clean my heart. And that's, he teaches us that it's by receiving the Holy Spirit, who St. Paul says is poured into our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and makes our hearts holy, clean, pure. In other words, as we start to become, as the Spirit does His work within us and we become clean, that means we're starting to pursue God. We're starting to run after Him, to long for Him, to desire Him. And so all these other worldly things become less and less important. And there was a great Christian author who said that what gets in the way of our seeing God is all of our attachments to the things of this world. We cling to this, and it gets in the way. And the last attachment that we cling to is our very own life. And once we have let go even of that, there'll be nothing finally in the way for us to behold God, to see God. There's also, in these Beatitudes, Jesus talks about righteousness in two different places. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Longing, this longing for what's good, for what's right, for right relationship with God, with others. He's going to satisfy that longing because that's what he wants for us as well. The second one is, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, again, rightness, for doing the right. St. Peter, in one of his letters, he says, there's no, if we get persecuted for doing what's wrong, well, that's kind of our fault. But if we get persecuted for doing what's right, then there's benefit in that. There's goodness in that. And it's interesting, Jesus, in three different of these Beatitudes, he mentions the kingdom of heaven or heaven. So in the very first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit, I have nothing. It's kind of like being clean of heart. I have no attachments. I'm poor, and God alone is my possession. Well, then I'm with God. I'm in the kingdom. Or, as we said just a moment ago, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the same reward, so to speak. Persecuted for the sake of righteousness. In one sense, that could be, both of those Beatitudes could be anyone. A Buddhist monk can be unattached to all kinds of things. A Buddhist monk can be searching for right relationship with others and with God. And Jesus seems to say that if we're really pursuing what's the true and right, then we're going to find God. We're going to find the kingdom. But it's interesting then This is the last one on the Beatitudes. At the end, he says, "Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely, not for the sake of righteousness, but for the sake of me." Now, all of a sudden, it's not just a generic being good. Now this is not, if I'm doing this for the sake of Jesus, now I'm a Christian. Now it becomes a personal sacrifice for the sake of love. Not just for the sake of, I think this is the right thing to do, but for the sake of love. And then notice what he says. Your reward, not just is the kingdom of heaven, but you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. It's like a step up. And that's what we celebrate today. These saints who are not just in the kingdom of heaven, but are great in the kingdom of heaven because of their attachment to nothing else but Christ. They're putting Christ at the center and leaving everything else behind. In our church here, you know, we have, if you remember a little bit of history, when we were first established as a parish, we were established as St. Thomas Aquinas, was our first patron. And he's a great saint from the 13th century, the 1200s, one of the first followers of St. Dominic, Dominican. We had Dominicans here in this parish for a number of years. And he's often called one of the greater theologians that the church has produced, kind of a great synthesizer of scripture and theology. He's kind of a touchstone for that for us. When this church was built, it was named after the patron, St. Thomas More, who lived in the 1400s, 1500s, and was a lawyer, became a chancellor of England underneath King Henry VIII, and was also a theologian. He ghost wrote a treatise for Henry VIII on the sacraments of the church. But then when Henry declared himself independent of the church and himself the head of the church, Thomas More stood his ground and said, I cannot abide that. I have to stand with the truth. I have to stand with righteousness. And he became really poor in spirit in that moment. He became clean of heart to the point of becoming a martyr for the church. We're in the process, we're almost finished with getting our name changed to, actually this building has already been changed to St. John Henry Newman, and our parish very shortly. And John Henry Newman tomorrow will be declared a doctor of the church by Pope Leo and a co-patron of Catholic education by Pope Leo. And so he's someone who also, kind of like Thomas More, who had this pursuit of the truth, this pursuit of righteousness, this pursuit of Christ. And he sacrificed greatly. When he switched from being an Anglican priest to a Catholic, he lost friends, he lost his job. He was one of the greater teachers at Oxford University, and he gave it up for pursuing what he believed to be right and true and good. So we have great saints that surround us. We are working on getting some artwork, and we have a first-class relic of the new Saint Carlo Acutis that's going to go into our prayer chapel here. And so we pray. We're starting to surround ourselves physically with more and more examples of saints that are important for us, are good for us. But we know that we're surrounded with thousands and thousands of those whom the church has declared worthy of intercession. That's a beautiful and good thing. The last little thought about All Saints is that, you know, the church says what makes them saints is that God is Christ working in them, the Spirit of Christ working in them. And the saints are the most diverse cast of characters. They show the diversity of God, the diversity of the Holy Spirit. Evil is pretty a bunch of the same. But the saints are diverse. And what I love about thinking about that, I was thinking of this today, is it shows how diverse Christ is. How manifold and beautiful Christ is, because all these different, the virtues of all these different saints manifested in all their multiplicity, it's all, they're all reflecting Christ. And so every single person in the world can find something unique and beautiful about in Christ that draws us and that helps us to love him and to be clean of heart for him. So as we celebrate All Saints, we also begin this week a week of prayer for National Week of Prayer for Vocations. So let's pray that the saints can also inspire us to pursue holiness as we are called to pursue that, whether as in single, married, priesthood, religious life. That's how our one great call to holiness gets manifested in the world in all these different ways.